members of Congress agreed on something yesterday, sending a bill to President Obama that would require that federally subsidized daycares do criminal background checks on workers and not cut off parents whose incomes rise above the subsidy limit, but allow them to continue to get assistance for a year. Recently, federal funds for daycare have fallen short, even as more parents rely on daycare and increasingly on what some call extreme daycare, centers that are open up to 24 hours a day. We wanted to know more, so we're turning to Alyssa Court, who took a look at extreme daycare in the magazine Pacific Standard. She joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Hey there, Robin.
And we're also joined by Patrick Hogan, who with his wife Dolores owns D's Tots. That's a daycare center in New Rochelle, New York, that hosts kids all hours of the day. He's with us by Skype. Patrick, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Hello.
And Patrick, start with you. You know, tell us a little more about it. What does this mean? Do you have children being dropped off at midnight? What does it mean?
Well, not being dropped off at midnight. We have children being dropped off at different times of the day and the evenings. You know, in the past, it used to be pretty much a 9-to-5 type of scenario. Now you might have children being dropped off at 6 a.m. in the morning. We have some that's dropped off at 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon, some at 6 o'clock in the evenings because of their work schedules. So it varies.
And so this means that you and your wife, you might be the bedtime story.
We're not only the bedtime, we're the homework helpers. In the mornings, we help the little ones with their numbers and alphabet. So not only are we helping them with bedtime, snacks, and meals, we're also helping them, you know, getting ready for school and doing their schoolwork and things like that.
Well, Alyssa, we know that Pat's daycare center was one that you looked at. How many are there?
You know, I was trying to find real numbers on it, and I was having trouble. But anecdotally, when I was searching, looking online around the country, it's grown exponentially, especially in places like Las Vegas, for instance, or other late-night capitals. There's tons of them popping up. And many of the people who are depending on it are nurses. They're working at Costco. You know, they're the people that you're buying your groceries from at 2 in the morning. And where are their kids?
Well, they're in these daycare centers. You spoke with a number of the parents who send children to D's Tots, Pat's Place. One is Marisol, raising two daughters. Tell us a little bit about what her and their day is like.
Well, yeah, she drops the kids off in the morning for one job, and then she picks them up in the afternoon at I think it's 2 o'clock, and then she brings them back at 5 for another job, and then she picks them up again at 10. And the reason for this is in part that a lot of employers are now having people work shorter hours at a stretch so they can do things like avoid paying health insurance for full-time labor, or so they can get workers in and hours in which their particular corporation is getting the most customers. But it's not always when it's best for the worker or their family.
And Pat, what does this mean that you're doing this 24-hour daycare? Is it a different kind of regulation? We know you started your center in 1985 with your wife. But does something change if, in fact, you're going to be taking kids in at all hours?
Yes. Well, we are group family licensed by the state of New York. But when we go to 24-hour daycare, we definitely have to let the licensor know. We also let the police station know. We let the fire department know. So if anything does happen, they know that it's around-the-clock daycare, that it could be children inside involved if there's a situation.
It's got to be tough for you. I just want to mention, you're not a spring chicken. You started this years ago. Sometimes you'll be in bed at 1 or 2 in the morning and up at 5:45.
I'm used to that. I worked at a bank for 18 years, and I had the night shift. I'm also a leap, if I can throw this in, I'm also a leap year baby, so I don't get old. Every 4 years, I have a birthday. So I definitely stay young. We don't have any stress, and we enjoy what we're doing.
Boy, I would think, Pat, that you and your wife are really on the front lines of what can happen to lives that are in economic disarray. When we hear about a mother bringing her child back twice in one day to daycare, there have got to be days where those kids do not want to.
Oh, well, obviously, yes. I mean, most children definitely would rather be with their parents. Yeah, we'd like them to be with their parents as well, but this is something that we do. This is something that we love. Again, we're family-based, so we're in a home. We're not in a building like a school-type setting. So it's a home setting where we have our own children. We have four children of our of our own, and it's we're both here, a mother and a father. So they get the same love that they would get at home with their own parents.
I mean, I think, Robin, one of the things is that if they weren't in this warm and really coherent environment of the Hogan, some of these kids would be in informal daycare networks, being taken care of by neighbors, by extended family, you know, in kind of a harem-scarum setup. So, I mean, the things that need to change are labor practices, in my estimation, mm-hmm. and not reliance on daycare.
Yeah, so that people don't have to work so many jobs. But Alyssa, you got some negative reaction to your article. What was that?
You know, so I wrote about this in my piece. I would talk to parents like myself, and it wasn't negative response to the Hogan's daycare. It was that this was actually needed. And it was sort of this startled, how is this possible in America that people need constant daycare? And actually, Robin, this is an interesting point. You know, I was looking into this. A lot of the people who need 24-hour daycare are wealthy. I mean, they're doctors and business people. But the difference there is that they're not a squeezed middle class or, you know, lower middle class that can't afford two au pairs or two nannies. So that's the difference. I mean, we're all overworked. It's typical to have 1 1/4 jobs, and that's across the class spectrum. So that was the point I was trying to make in this piece, in trying to show 24-hour daycare is going to be the wave of the future if labor practices are not better regulated, because there's just no way that so many shift workers are going to be able to continue to get by without having more facilities like this.
And if I may jump in, this is why we need help on city, state, federal, and government levels in terms of support with home-based childcare. It's good with Head Start. It's good with pre-K. But there's a segment there, again, from the birth to you get to that point, which is the home-based businesses. And we need that support from the different agencies and governments in terms of helping parents have better access to childcare and subsidies and help.
I mean, I think, Robin, one of the things is that the pre-K policy that started in New York City is part of the way there, but it's not the full way. And I'm so glad Pat brought that up. I think there's all these years before pre-K that people aren't being served, you know, and we have this idea that daycare and healthcare and all these personal experiences within families are just that. They're strictly personal. They're not shared. And I think one of the things that being around the Hogans, you know, you could kind of see a flicker of a community raising children, you know, mm-hmm. and that we need to do that on a federal level as well.
That's Alyssa Court. Her story about so-called extreme daycare is in the magazine Pacific Standard. We've also been speaking with Patrick Hogan, co-owner of Dee's Tots, a daycare, extreme daycare center in New Rochelle, New York, open 24 hours a day. I want to thank you both. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.